Do you think any of these bases might be connected, Richard, in terms of tunnels with rail lines or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. I think that's very possible. In fact, there was another Nazi engineer. Well, I shouldn't say Nazi because I don't know if he was actually a card-carrying Nazi. But there was another German engineer who was working during the Third Reich by the name of Hermann Kemper. And he was working on a concept that he called the Rohrbahn. He carried out R&D on that during the 1930s and even during the 40s during World War II. And the research continued after World War II. And in fact, today the Germans are among the world leaders in magnetic levitation train technology, so-called maglev technology. And Hermann Kemper's Rohrbahn, even in the 1930s, was designed to go 1,800 miles per hour underground. That's 1,800 miles per hour underground, riding on a magnetic field and zooming through an underground tunnel from which most of the air has been evacuated such that you have a partial vacuum, and thus you would have very little wind resistance and very little friction. And because the train would ride on a magnetic field, you wouldn't have friction from wheels and rails either. So it could indeed zip along very fast. So that was his scheme. That research has been continued down through the years. After World War II, in about 1949, Robert Goddard, the father of American rocketry, and really of chemical rocketry in general, who, by the way, did some of his best work in Roswell, New Mexico during the 1930s. Anyway, Goddard had a patent in 1949 in which he had a design similar in many respects to that of Hermann Kemper. But Robert Goddard's train was designed to go coast to coast in North America in 10 minutes. In other words,
10 minutes? Wow.
Yes, at about 15,000 miles per hour underground. Now, that work was also extended by an engineer named Robert Salter for the RAND Corporation. He produced a study for the RAND Corporation in the 1970s with a scheme very similar to that of Hermann Kemper and Robert Goddard. In Salter's scheme, you would have, again, a maglev train, very high-speed maglev train, going at speeds in the 14,000 and 15,000 mile-per-hour range. However, Salter's scheme, there's provision made for intermediate stops mid-continent, so he would take as much as, say, 50 or 55 minutes to go coast to coast.
That's going to happen if it isn't.
Well, you
really
see, it may already have been done.
Yeah.
And I say that because starting about in the mid-60s and continuing through the 70s and right down to the late 70s and maybe around 1980 or so, there was in this country something called the High-Speed Ground Transportation Initiative. This was a multi-agency R&D effort involving some military agencies from the Navy and Army, for example, but also from other government agencies such as the Department of Transportation. And then you had some of the railroads involved, major corporations like GE and Westinghouse, I believe, were involved. Then you also had some of the nation's premier engineering schools, mining engineering and also other engineering schools who were involved in the design, R&D of an underground, very high-speed tube train tunnel network. Now, this research was carried out actively over a period of years, and this multi-agency, approximately 15-year effort, produced a pile of studies, articles, designs, memos, etc., many of which I have collected in the course of my research, and it all went away. in about the early 1980s, late 70s, early 1980s. Not too long after that, we started hearing rumors about secret underground tunnel systems with high-speed trains zooming through them.
And we started hearing homes around this country.
Yeah, all of which causes me to think that there probably are secret underground high-speed trains. There's certainly people who say that there are. I'm inclined to give them a hearing.
Let's talk for a moment, Richard, if we can, about some of the undersea bases, and then at the break we'll get into what could be extraterrestrial or alien bases and see if there's a working relationship here. Now, these undersea bases fascinate me. Are these bases that you have to get to them via submarine, or is there another way to enter and get into them?
Well, my research shows that there would be at least three ways. And maybe more if there were exotic technologies involved. One of the most prosaic ways to enter an undersea base would be via a vertical shaft on an island, say like Bermuda or the Hawaiian Islands or something like that, and go down, say, a mile or two or three through a vertical shaft, and once at depth, go out under the sea through a more or less horizontal tunnel and access undersea bases that way. In theory and in practice, there's nothing to exclude such tunnels for extending for hundreds of miles, the more so if you have high-speed trains zooming through them. So that's one way. Another way is to actually extend tunnels out under the seabed from onshore. And again, here, the tunnels could even be hundreds of miles long. There's another way to do it, and that is to put airlocks right on the seafloor and to get access to an undersea base that way. All of these means of accessing undersea bases are openly discussed in the open literature that I've examined. Now, if you did have submarine access, it's state of the art for the United States Navy, and I'm sure for other navies as well, to mate to hatches for airlocks in a deep-sea environment. So that certainly would be a way to transfer not only personnel but supplies and equipment. I believe that's happening. The circumstantial evidence I have points in that direction, and I've had people tell me that there are undersea facilities. So at this point, I accept that they must exist.
Did you come across any research that shows that some of these undersea bases are at the North Pole or the South Pole?
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at the illustrations in my book, there are some wonderful illustrations by a Navy illustrator who was attached to the Navy's R&D team at the China Lake Naval Ordnance Test Station in California back in the mid-1960s. His name is Walter Kirshner, and he, in fact, produced one illustration that depicts a submarine going through a subsea tunnel through a kind of a seamount, and that is clearly in a polar region because there's pack ice there on the surface of the sea. So clearly the Navy had asked him or tasked him with depicting graphically certain scenarios related to undersea submarine tunnels as well as undersea bases. So, yeah, I think they're there, and other places around the world as well, George.